The 18-year-old Saudi woman who fled her home with claims of abuse gave an interview yesterday to the Australian Broadcasting Corporation explaining why she tried to flee to Australia through Thailand. She said, "I wanted to be free from abuse and depression. I wouldn't be able to marry who I wanted." Well, when she got to Thailand, as you remember, her passport was confiscated. She went on social media, became an international cause, ending up in Canada. Then there's the Emirati princess who says she tried to flee an abusive home in the UAE, but was foiled. On YouTube, she said her father ordered men to capture her.
Yeah, they put me in prison and they tortured me. Basically, one guy was holding me while the other guy was beating me.
But then her family asked Mary Robinson, former president of Ireland, former UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, to come see the princess. And Robinson came to this conclusion, speaking with the BBC.
This is a troubled young woman who has a serious medical situation. She's receiving psychiatric care, and they don't want her to endure any more publicity. This is a family matter now, and that she is in the care and loving care of her family.
Well, activists, including those at Human Rights Watch, were outraged. Phil Robertson is the group's Asia deputy director. Let's check in with both stories now with him. Phil, welcome.
Hi.
To the teen in Canada first, Rahaf Al-Qanoon. How is she doing?
She's in a much better place right now. She's happy. She's relieved that she has escaped her ordeal. She is now, I think, finally experiencing the new life that she dreamed for herself.
Well, talk about why she was even detained by the Thai officials in the first place, as she was trying actually to get to Australia. Saudi Arabia, now led by Prince Salman, most recently accused by U.S. intelligence officials of being behind the murder of a journalist. Before that, was getting a lot of positive press for claiming he was liberating women. They were allowed to drive. But less well known is he still oversees the punitive guardian system in Saudi Arabia. Just explain that.
The bottom line is that women in Saudi Arabia are considered to be legal minors. They are always required to have permission from a male guardian to do basic things in their lives, taking a job. It could be going to study, simply moving around. And until recently, it was also that they were barred from driving. So they're controlled in many different ways through this guardian system. And in this case, that's why she had to flee from Kuwait, from a family holiday in that country, because there was no way she could leave from Saudi Arabia because she would never get permission from her guardian to get on a flight.
Do other countries respect that Saudi law? Because it sounds as if the Thai officials stopped her.
What happened actually was a Thai officer of the Saudi embassy was the person who stopped her and took her passport. He then arranged for her to sign a Thai language form that she couldn't understand and was told to wait. She did for a period of time, and he finally came back and informed her that her father missed her very much and wanted her to go back and that she was not allowed to enter into Thailand. Mm. What he had done is evidently taken the paperwork to engineer the rejection of a visa on arrival for her, and that was the legal premise for her to be sent back to Kuwait. Part of it also, I think, is, at least in the case of Rahaf, that perhaps the Saudi embassy misrepresented what the situation was to the Thai government. They said that that the family had filed a missing persons request in Kuwait, and they just asked for help to get her back to the family. And when asked about this by media, the Thai immigration commissioner, Khun Sorichet Hakpan, said, "Well, you know, this is a family matter." But as the Twitter following for Rahaf increased and as the media got more involved, it became quite clear that there was much more to it.
So the Saudi reach, you know, it reaches into other countries. As we know, she barricaded herself. She sent out messages on social media in Arabic. And Canada has now stepped in. By the way, your own Kenneth Roth, the executive director of Human Rights Watch, criticized Australia, saying that they slow-walked this, that they should have been quicker in helping her go from Thailand to Australia. Instead, Canada stepped in.
Well, what happened was her father and her brother, the two male relatives she'd feared the most who had subjected her to psychological and physical abuse, arrived in Thailand after the UN had taken her under their protection. And the fear was that there would be something done. Some sort of effort to get her back under their control would be taken. And so Australia said they would take her, but then Peter Dutton, the Minister of Home Affairs, said that her application would be processed the same way that as all other refugee applications are processed. And it could be weeks for that to happen, and Canada was right there and ready to do it.
Well, a couple of things. I asked you if other countries respect Saudi law. Maybe other countries, though, definitely fear Saudi retribution and a worsening of relations with Saudi Arabia, which is why they might not act as quickly.
I think that's part of it.
Well, let's talk about Sheikha Latifa, the Emirati princess. She was on the yacht of a former French spy in her second attempt to escape the UAE when she was snatched back by UAE officials. And then you have Mary Robinson, who says the princess is troubled and receiving psychiatric treatment. But the princess's supporters say that Robinson was reading from Dubai's script. Your executive director, again, Kenneth Roth, said, well, you say the UAE princess is troubled, which suggests a pre-existing condition. I'd be troubled, too, if I tried to escape a gilded prison and was kidnapped back. I mean, if Mary Robinson, highly respected, says that this actually is a different case, this is a young girl who has psychiatric issues and sides with the family, how do you, as Human Rights Watch, know she's not right?
The problem is this. This is the common pushback by the families. When women try to leave, they said that there's some sort of mental imbalance or a psychiatric problem. The father and the brother were saying the same thing about Rahaf. And it's very concerning that Mary Robinson would go and endorse that narrative. I mean, last time I checked, she's not a psychiatrist. It's really, in my view, something that she should not have done. Mm. And I think that in many of these cases, it goes back to the sort of basic application of international human rights law. If this woman is of majority age, if she's 18 years or older and she decides she wants to leave, she should be allowed to do so.
We reached out to Mary Robinson, who's been a frequent guest on the program and is usually very eager to talk about human rights issues. But she sent us a statement that she's dismayed at some of the comments about her, that she made her assessment, not a judgment, on witness and in good faith. Can we presume that unless somebody barricades themselves in a hotel room in Thailand or the former president of Ireland gets involved, there are more of these stories than we hear about?
There are many more cases than we know about. We know, for instance, just from Rahaf and her friends, that several of her friends had escaped. The successful escapes we don't hear about. It's the ones that, for instance, the Dina Ali case in the Philippines in 2017, where she was intercepted. She had her passport taken away by the Philippines government, you know, who held her until her relatives came from Saudi Arabia and basically carried her kicking and screaming back onto the plane. Mm. We hear about those cases. I think there are many more cases that are out there, and I think there are many more cases that are going to be coming up because Rahaf has succeeded beyond all expectations.
Do you know, by the way, Phil, what Rahaf Al-Qanun plans to do? Is she going to completely make her life in Canada? She can't go home.
Well, I think at this point, she's going to be in Canada for quite some time.
Right.
She had talked about studying architecture. Yeah. And, you know, I think she realizes now that she's got an entire world in front of her. I think the fact that she escaped in such a high-profile way is also going to cause some limitations on what she can do because she has to be careful of her security.
Right. I wanted to ask you about that. We saw what happened to, a Saudi journalist from America who was in Turkey and was snatched at the Saudi consulate there. So how far might her family go to try to get her back?
Well, I think the fact that she's in Canada and the fact that Canada and Saudi Arabia have basically ruptured relations because Canada criticized Saudi Arabia's human rights record with good reason, and Saudi Arabia retaliated by kicking out the ambassador and cutting trade talk relations. But I think also what will happen is there's a network of feminists from Saudi Arabia and other parts of the Gulf who are increasingly intertwined and engaged in sort of supporting women like Rahaf who've come out and helping them escape. With this kind of story and the kind of support that was seen in the international community for Rahaf, I think that they are looking to do much more. And that also means, of course, making sure that people are protected. And there's a lot of precautions taking place. I think that that is something that we can't really talk about too much. But the reality is that this is a government in Saudi Arabia that is prepared to pursue these women a great length across the world in a way that is shameful, it's outrageous, and it has to stop.
Phil Robertson, Deputy Director of the Human Rights Watch Asia Division, thanks so much.
Thank you.